please. Now, let me give you, this will go on the tape, but that's okay. And I told you, it won't be next week, of course, since I won't be here, if that's God's will. But I want you, as Joe was reading this passage, I want you to look at that verse 12 of Hebrews 2, where Paul says, saying, and Paul is quoting here from the Old Testament, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of thee. Takes a little liberty there, don't he? You go back to the Old Testament, it says congregation. But what does Paul call it there? Church. Yeah. See, I don't want to say, I'd love to just start that today, but I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. You see, there is a place where you can have some liberty in the Word of God to interpret even Old Testament passages as they would apply to us today. But that still doesn't mean they don't have their literal physical truth to a certain people it's talking about when that passage was written. Exactly. Well, Paul changes. He doesn't use the word congregation there. But still, congregation is not a bad word. No. But notice the word here is church. All right, that's not even what I'm going to preach on. Philippians chapter 1 again. And I won't stay there very long. But I do want to read that passage, where Paul says, Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing being terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token. It's a proof. Now, what is them being your adversary? That's the proof. And in nothing being terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of their ruin. Now, not their being reprobate, not their not being elect. That's not the question here. The question here has to do with whether a person is regenerated and converted or not. And a person who is an adversary of the gospel, and you can be an adversary of God's people. If you're an adversary of God's people, as God's people, because they're God's people, then you're an adversary of the gospel.
Amen.
That's right. Yes, sir.
It's not, I like the gospel, but I don't care much about God's people. It don't work that way.
No.
He that loves God will love his brother also.
Yes, sir.
This, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Amen.
So the adversaries, the proof of their ruin, their total depravity, I believe we can put it that way, is the fact that they hate the gospel. And that's manifested in several different ways. There are a lot of religious people who love the Bible, but they hate the truth. You see, they're an adversary of it, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you, a salvation. It's a proof of your salvation. The fact that they hate you because of your connection to the truth. It's not because we're all that much, well, it's not because we're better than they are. But I will say this, we are different than they are.
Yes, sir.
That's a fact. We may not be better, but we are different. And it's a proof of our salvation. And as I said before, I believe Paul just can't stand it. He says, and that of God. Because there's no credit here for us.
Exactly.
No boasting here. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be. Now I ask the question, what is a life lived that's appropriate of the gospel? And first of all, let me turn back to my other page here. First of all, I say two things. A life lived that's appropriate of the gospel is a life that is lived which avoids those things that are contrary to sound doctrine.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
God doesn't save us to serve ourselves.
Yeah.
Although sometimes we do. But that's not the point. God doesn't save us to serve the flesh. Although sometimes we do. But that's not the point. God saves his people to serve him. Paul says, you're set at liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And there are some ways of life. There are some manners of living. There is some conduct that's not acceptable. It doesn't mean we never, Joe can't do it. It doesn't mean we're not capable of doing it. It doesn't mean at times God's people may not be guilty of doing it. But that's, again, that's not the point.
Amen. Right.
The point is, it's never to be considered acceptable.
Yes.
Never.
That's it.
If we're guilty of it, we ought to be ashamed of it, Joe.
Exactly.
And repent of it.
Yes, sir.
And if we've been regenerated and converted, we will. You can't help but be. You'll be ashamed of it and desire to repent of it, even if nobody else knows about it.
Exactly.
A lot of people get repentant when they're found out.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody. But some people get repentant when they're found out. But God's people are repentant because they know God knows.
Yeah.
If anybody else knows or not. So again, and Paul says, and I'm not going to go back and read it, 1 Timothy 1:1-16. Paul says, there are things that are contrary to sound doctrine. And there are certain ways of living. But I also said this. The second one is this. It should also be a given that a life lived as is appropriate of the gospel is one in which the gospel is truly recognized as the gospel.
Yes,
sir. Now these are not two separate and distinct things. For instance, it's not. And I'm afraid there may be people that hold to this view, that live by this view. Although I cannot see the heart, all I can see is, you know, what I see outwardly. And that's not an absolute proof, but it can be an evident token.
Yeah.
Okay? The only absolute proof is in God himself. And as you've quoted and ably spoke on it, Joe, God knows them that are his. But the question is not who's elect and who's reprobate. The question is who's converted and who's not. Who loves the gospel and who doesn't. So again, it's what a life lived is one that truly recognizes the gospel. One cannot, as the old phrase goes, and I'm going to, for the sake of argument, put it this way. One cannot honor, believe, and recognize the truth of the gospel and then live a life that's contrary to that gospel.
Yeah.
Those two things don't happen. We may do something that's contrary to the gospel, but that's not the way God's people live. Somebody says, well, how long can they continue in sin? That's God's business.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I seen so-and-so do this, and somebody else done something over here, and both of those things are wrong. How can you say that person may be saved, and this one over here is not? Because the Scripture recognizes such things.
Yes,
think
sir.
About it. Aaron's two sons went into the temple, the tabernacle rather,
yeah.
Went into the tabernacle with strange fire. Now, all that means is they had the wrong kind of hot coals.
Exactly.
With them. Hot coals that were taken from an inappropriate place.
Exactly.
They were to take the hot coals from off the brazen altar outside,
yes,
and
sir.
Go into the tabernacle. They took strange fire. That is, hot coals is all it was, Joe. Just hot coals from the fire. The wrong ones. And what happened? God killed them dead where they stood.
Yes, sir.
And yet David, King David, took the showbread,
yeah.
Which was but for the priests only. And
yes,
David
sir.
Ate it, and David gave it to his buddies, and they ate it. And God didn't kill him.
That's exactly
why? Because one is worse than the other? No, because God is sovereign in his mercy and his grace.
Yes, sir.
He can judge one for their sin and be merciful to another in spite of their sin, based upon the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
These things cannot be separated. In other words, there are a lot of people who say, well, I don't believe that message. I don't believe what you... Now, they usually say, I don't believe what you say.
Yeah.
It ain't just me saying it, first of all.
Yeah.
It's what this word says.
Yes, sir.
But there are those who say, well, I don't believe that. But since they live a good, moral, clean life, then they think they're the children of God.
Yep.
Doesn't work like that.
Exactly.
Morality, living a life, in other words, that is consistent with sound doctrine is of no value if you don't believe sound doctrine.
Exactly.
Just like believing sound doctrine is of no value if you don't live a life that is appropriate of sound doctrine.
Amen.
Either one is absolute hypocrisy.
Yeah, that's it.
to say, well, I believe the truth, but I don't try to live the truth. Well, you're a fool.
Yeah.
Well, I live the truth, but I don't believe the truth. That would really be foolish, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
It would really be foolish. But let's go to a passage here. And it's a familiar passage. It's nothing new. Galatians chapter 1.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this idea of a life lived that's appropriate of the gospel is one which truly recognizes the gospel. Now, there are a few verses here, as I said, which are familiar. And I feel like I want to rush through these because I want to get to the meat of this. But let's look at that passage, Galatians 1, starting in verse 6, where Paul says to the Galatian people here and to these Galatian believers, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Yeah.
Think about this. Verse 8, let's look at the who here. And the who here is all in the negative. Paul's not saying, here's what I preach. Here's what I preach. He says, there are some who's preaching contrary to what I preach. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Now let's look at the who. In verse 8, concerning this great warning, and that's as simple as I'll state it right now. It's a warning, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
A warning with some serious consequences.
Yes, sir.
Or some serious effects, I might say. First of all, verse 8, Paul includes himself in this.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? Yeah. Paul doesn't say, now I preach the gospel, now I can turn around and preach whatever I want. Paul includes himself in this warning. Verse 8, Paul includes any of his companions in this warning.
Yes,
does
sir.
He not? And in verse 8, Paul includes even any and all of the heavenly hosts in this warning.
Yes, sir.
Kind of sounds like to me, ain't nobody exempt here.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
Nobody's. Verse 9, no creature is exempt. That's what he basically sums it up as.
Yes, sir.
As we said before, so say I now again, if any, and notice the man is in italics.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it does go on to say, let him, but Paul is not just referring to men. He mentioned angels.
Exactly
right? Even if, but an angel where? Not from hell, not a fallen angel, Job, but an angel from heaven. Preach any other gospel than that which I preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
What's the crime here? The crime, according to verse 6 and 7, is preaching any other gospel.
Yes, sir.
Right? The crime here, according to verse 8 and 9, I should say preaching another gospel. That's verse 6 and 7. Another. In verse 8 and 9 is preaching any other gospel.
Yeah.
That's what he says. Now, Joe, you meant, which is not another, but that's not the point. There is no other gospel but the gospel, but men have made a lot of gospels.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Men have a lot of gospels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So again, it's preaching another gospel, verse 6 and 7. It is, according to verse 8 and 9, preaching any other gospel. It is preaching any gospel other than what Paul had already originally preached, verse 8. Now, I'll go back to Corinthians. Remember, we looked at that here some time back. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid.
Amen.
We are not building on what Paul preached.
No.
We must be preaching what Paul preached, or we're not preaching the gospel.
That's right. Exactly.
There are those who think they can take it further than Paul.
Yeah.
And they're wrong. And there are those who think they don't have to go as far as Paul. And they're wrong.
Amen.
Why? Because any other gospel is not the gospel.
That's right.
But is rather what? A perversion.
Yes, sir.
Of the gospel. In other words, it is any and all perversions of Paul's gospel is what? Another gospel, which is in fact not a gospel at all.
Amen.
Now think about it. If God lays this statement to your mind, I want to give this, and if you get this, I thank God for it. It's not just the Galatian perversion only that Paul here warns about.
That's right.
Now you understand what I'm saying? There are those, well, at least we're not preaching what those Judaizers preach. We're preaching Paul's gospel. Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Not if you're not preaching what Paul originally preached. There's all kinds of gospel. There's the gospel of free will.
Oh, yeah.
And according to the scripture, I say unequivocally, and I will not argue about it, I will proclaim it, man does not have a free will.
Amen.
It does not exist. And any message that makes man's free will even supposed to be a reality is not the gospel Paul preached.
Amen. Exactly.
Period. Now, is it not quite as bad as a law perversion? It's still a perversion.
Exactly.
Any perversion is a perversion. Paul didn't say, now most other gospels, which are not truly the gospel, or perversion. No, he said, any other gospel, if a man preaches anything else other than what I preached, what? Let him be accursed.
Amen.
The phrase is here. Let him be. Let him be under the disfavor of God.
Yes, sir.
Let him be. That's in the present active imperative. It is a command. Now, I have said before that Paul said, just let them go to hell. That may be the ultimate goal, but that's not the actual statement. He said, let them be under the disfavor of God.
Exactly.
The imperative is seen. What does that say? It gives us the fact that this is a command. That's what an imperative is.
Yes,
it's
sir.
A command. The active voice means that the action is accomplished by the subject of the verb. We are to let them be.
Exactly.
In other words, if they're preaching anything other than contrary, if they're preaching contrary to what Paul preached, let them stay to themselves.
Exactly.
And it's in the present tense. That is, it's happening right now, and it's to have continuous and repeated action. In other words, such action as this. If a person, and I'm adding this because this is the truth of Scripture, who persists in such a perversion. Because men can be saved who once preached perversion. They can be saved and turned to preach the truth.
Yep.
Now, we understand that from the Scripture, right? Yep. The Apostle Paul was a case in point. He preached the law. The law was his message at one time. But after God saved him, did he continue to preach the law? No. And let me tell you, when God saves you, you won't continually preach the law or hold to the law either. A lot of people out here thinking, well, because I live right and I believe in God and Jesus, because I've accepted the doctrines of grace, I'm okay. Not necessarily.
That's right. That's
not necessarily. But here's the problem. Paul says somebody's preaching any other gospel, not just this Galatian perversion. Mm-hmm. Any other gospel, let them be under God's disfavor.
Exactly.
In other words, Paul is not seeking these men's salvation.
That's it.
Is he? He's not looking for them. He's not trying to correct them. You see? His reason for being, Joe, his reason for giving this warning is not to correct them, but to warn the Galatians.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? Now, he's not trying to damn them. That's not his business. But he does say in chapter 5, and what is it? Chapter 5 and verse 11, chapter 5 and verse 10. He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord. Confidence of what? That even though you've been, what? You did run well. Who did hinder you? Verse 7. That you should not obey the truth. Because what? God's people obey the truth. But these people had been bewitched. They'd been tricked. But Paul says, verse 10, I have confidence in you, how? Through the Lord. That ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment. Uh-oh. There's a whosoever with that one too, ain't it? Whosoever he be.
Exactly.
Now the question, well, and then people, well, are you saying that person can't ultimately be saved? That's not the point. Even if you have one of God's elect, if they're lying on God, we are to let them be under his disfavor. You know why? Well, we don't know who the elect are.
Exactly.
Until they obey the truth. Until they obey the truth. Think about it. Here's the problem. The problem wasn't just these guys were preaching another message. There were all kinds of different religions in Paul's day and before Paul's day, were there not?
Oh, yeah.
Even Paul preached the wrong thing. Stood for this. I mean, stood for it and put people to death who disagreed with him.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Especially if they held to this Jesus of Nazareth stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And yet God saved him, but that's not the point. Error is error. Lies are lies. And they are to be treated as such, no matter who says it.
Amen.
Right? Doesn't matter who says it. Think about it. Some of these hearers, Paul says, were removed. I marvel that you're so soon removed. But removed from what? Removed from God. Removed from Christ, removed from the truth, removed from the gospel. In other words, according to chapter 1, verse 6, they have been removed from their true calling. Right? I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to what? Another gospel. Now, does Paul say, well, all right, they're gods. And if they're one of gods, they'll come around. And well, we just go on about our merry way, and I just preach my own little nice little sermons, try to preach Christ. Is that what Paul done? No, he warned people about this perversion, didn't he?
Yes,
and said, I don't care if it's me or one of my comrades or an angel from heaven. If they're preaching anything else, let them be under the disfavor of God.
Amen.
Now, if they're one of God's, he'll deal with them in his own good time. But you and I are not to be trying to figure out who we're to show mercy on or who God's to show mercy on and who he's not. Lies are lies.
Yes, sir.
And I think it wasn't that John says no lie. No lie is of the truth.
Yes.
Now, Paul does distinguish here between those who preach perversion and those who are bewitched from the truth. Right? He makes a distinction here between these people. Chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians. Now, he still ain't easy on them,
yeah.
Does he? He'll sit up and say, well, you're okay. I think you're one of the elect. You'll be just fine.
Yeah.
No. He goes on to say, let me jump ahead, I stand in doubt of you.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what he says?
Yes,
and he's saying, I'm perplexed by you. This don't make sense. But look, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Now, have they gone into immorality, drunkenness, and thievery? No, that's not the problem here, was it?
No.
The problem was just this one little thing.
Yeah.
They turned from the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's serious enough,
amen.
Isn't
yes,
it?
Sir.
It's serious. I don't care how moral you are. You turn from the truth, you've turned from God. You've turned from the gospel. You've turned from Christ. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? And he says, let's go back and look at where you started. Mm-hmm. Right? Isn't that what he says? Now look at another one. Chapter 5, we were there a moment ago. Verse 7, ye did run well. Who did what? Hindered. It's like throwing a body block.
Yeah.
You know, like the tackle who, the one fellow's running this way in a football game and somebody throws him off course. Who did hinder you that what? Again, he says it. You should not obey the truth. He said, God didn't call you to this. Right? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. And here's the problem. Well, but it's just a little different.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Just a little different. What does Paul say? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. As I said last week, the problem is this. Little may be little to us.
Yeah.
And a little error here allowed. A little error here put up with. A little error here permitted will eventually over a period of time and through the generations so distort the truth that eventually no truth will exist.
You're right.
That's the problem. Yeah. It's not that the little leaven in itself is that great big a deal, but a little leaven will what? Leaven the whole lump. You can't put up with error and just expect God to set back, oh well, everything's just fine. It don't work that way.
That's it.
Doesn't work that way. But let me say this. As I said, Paul does distinguish between those who preach perversion and those who are bewitched from the truth. But one thing's true. You cannot be removed from where you never been start with.
Right.
So don't come along and tell me, well, I don't believe what you preach. Let me tell you, I'm preaching the gospel. That's what I'm preaching. I'm preaching the gospel. And if you don't believe the truth, you do not belong to God in conversion. Well, these people had not, they weren't obeying the truth yet, but they had at one time. Again, I say you can't be removed from where you've been. You can't go back to where you've never been.
Exactly.
Paul here is not trying to say, well, as long as you're not the preacher of the perversion. Let me tell you, if you're holding to the perversion, you're in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Now, God alone sees the heart. God alone knows the ultimate outcome, but God doesn't tell us, well, just worry about the ultimate outcome. Because God declared the end from the beginning and the things which are not yet done.
Yes.
So all that means all the stuff in the middle counts too.
Yes, sir.
It's not just if I'm one of the elect, well, I'll just wind up in heaven one day. No, God will bring you to obey the truth.
Yes,
and
sir.
When you stray from the truth, and you may,
yeah.
When you stray from the truth, what's he going to do? Bring you back
Amen.
To the truth.
Exactly.
And let me tell you, that's in God's own good time frame.
Yeah.
But if somebody strayed from the truth, wait, well, you're okay. You're just fine. No, is that what we tell them?
No, sir.
No, sir. No, sir. We're not to take that kind of attitude. Let me say this. Salvation and truth go hand in hand.
Yes,
you can't have one without the other.
That's it.
You can't have it. Let me just give you a few. As I read this, there are many that are in the positive. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I don't have time to read them all. But there are many more in the positive that show salvation and truth go hand in hand. But there are just as many, if not more, that are in the negative.
Yes,
that says if you don't have the truth, you don't have God.
Exactly.
These are the ones that says those who have God have the truth. Those who have truth have God. Here it is. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. Quoting it from memory. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through. So there's a means here, right?
Yeah.
Through what? Sanctification of the Spirit. That's absolutely essential.
Yes, sir.
You've got to be set apart by the Spirit first. That's why people can't do a lot of the things they'd like to do.
Exactly.
Or they think about, well, I ought to start doing right. I ought to start living right. I ought to believe the truth. I ought to serve God. But they can't.
Yeah.
They try, but they can't. You know why? They've never been set apart by God's Spirit.
Amen. Exactly.
But once you are, you not only can, but you will.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But it says through sanctification of the Spirit, that's essential. But the next thing is just as essential.
Yeah.
And belief of what? The truth. Well, I've never heard what you preached before. Well, you're not converted then.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, I'm not saying you got to hear me. I'm not saying you got to hear somebody like me. God can bring truth from whomever and wherever he wants, but it will be truth.
Amen.
It will not be lies.
Yeah, exactly.
And I do not believe Arminians are saved in believing Arminianism.
Exactly.
I believe Arminians are saved by God because he brings them to believe the truth.
Yes, sir.
Now, they might remain in the midst of those kind of people, and even David have some errors. But once God opens your eyes and you see this truth, eventually that a little leaven leavens the whole lump the other way too. If you have truth here, if your eye be single, then what? Your whole body will be full of light. And if God opens your eyes to this truth, then eventually other truths are going to fall into place.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Not lies, truths. Well, I just never have believed that. Well, you're hurting then. Let me say, you're lost then. John chapter 16, I have to read that one. Listen to what this says. John chapter 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of what?
Truth.
When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That don't mean you get it all at the beginning, but he's going to lead you there.
Yes, sir.
How do I know that I begin in the truth? Because you're continuing in it. And even when you stray, God at least brings you back to where you left off.
Yes, sir.
And then you continue to move on. What? Into all truth.
Yes, sir.
He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he will receive of mine and will shew it unto you. You see, I believe that's just as much true as when he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Yeah.
Everybody that comes to him is going to come believing the truth.
Yes, sir. That's it.
That's right. You got a person over here. A lot of people say, well, I believe that. But then their life proves differently.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about immorality. Now, that may be a proof. Paul says, they that do such things. Now, aren't you glad it doesn't say those who have ever done such things?
Exactly.
Because we've all done such things. And some of us are probably still going to be guilty of some such things.
Yeah.
But Paul says, those that do such things. But in one of those passages, he includes this wrong way of life. It's called heresy. Heresy. It's
yes,
a work
sir.
Of the flesh. Wait a minute. 1 Peter chapter 1. Here's another one. 1 Peter, time to... And then somehow when you go to work, it just seems like it drags by. When you come to worship with God's people, it's like snap and it's over with. Chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. Where am I at here? Verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying what?
Yeah.
The truth. Yes, it's through the Spirit. We got no boast in it. It's not, I'm smarter than you. That's not it. It's through the Spirit. But nevertheless, it's still obeying the truth. Seeing you've purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto what? Unpretended love of the brethren. And I know this. I am persuaded of this. That's the way Paul said it about Timothy. So that's why, Joe, I'm persuaded you love God's people. When Joe sits here and says, this is my family, I believe Joe. You know why? Because his life has shown that.
Yeah.
That's why. I'm not talking about how moral he is. I'm not talking about how moral I am. I'm not talking about how moral you are, although we all ought to be.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But the point is, when you really love God's people, it'll come out on you.
Yeah.
You can't help it. You can't help it. It ain't, oh, I got to go to church today. Then you might as well stay home.
Amen.
And quit bothering me. You may not be bothering anybody else, but if you're bothering me, that's enough. No, I'm just tongue-in-cheek. No, unto unpretended love of the brethren. Now, nobody can know for sure if that's real in you, but you and God.
Yeah, exactly.
And sadly, some people think they do and they don't. They're deceived.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm deceived, I'm deceived. Like Scott Richardson said, if I knew I was deceived, I wouldn't be deceived anymore. But nevertheless, I have a good hope.
Yes,
a confident expectation based upon the prior facts.
Yeah.
Not what I have done for the Lord, but what the Lord has done for me. He made me feel this way, Joe. Feel.
Yes, sir.
He made me to be this way. I can't help but love you. You're not lovable. No, you're not, David. David made the worst face. So. We're not lovable, are we?
No.
We're not lovable. But yet we love one another. And it's genuine.
Yes, sir.
It's not a pretense. James chapter 1. This one you're familiar with all these, I'm sure. James chapter 1. This is a good one. Where is James? Somebody help me. There it is, right there. After Hebrews. James 1, verse 18. Of his own will begat he us. What? with the word, what? Of truth. Not just the word, but the word of truth.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, I thought y'all didn't believe in that. Oh, we believe in that.
Yes, sir.
I believe God brings forth his living ones, his regenerated ones, with the word of truth. They're birthed by the word of truth. And it's only by the word of truth.
Amen.
God doesn't birth us through lies.
Exactly.
God doesn't birth you with a message about free will.
Exactly.
And if you're resting in free will, you're not converted.
Exactly.
It's just that.
That's it.
Well, so what? Mason, you and I talked about this. Now, can I see the heart? No, but I know this. If a man preaches free will, I have to say he's not preaching the gospel Paul preached.
Amen.
It's a perversion. Let him alone.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Well, what if he's one of God's? God's the one that's got to save him, not me.
Exactly.
Ain't up to me to try to straighten him out.
Exactly.
It's up to God. And you know what? The odds are against him.
Yeah.
You know why? Because many go in at the broad way and few find the straight and narrow way. And most people who hold the free will go to hell.
Yes, sir.
Because they'll continue to hold the free will until they die.
Yeah.
But there are some, a few, who hold the free will. But you know what happens? God changes their mind.
Yes.
And they may not even change it doctrinally. They still might think of that phrase or that concept, free will. But they'll be like a fellow I know, and I know him fairly well, who, while he still had these odd thoughts about the concept of free will, he knew this: if God ever lays hold of somebody else like he laid hold of me, they will flee to Jesus Christ. They won't be able to help it.
Amen.
That's free grace.
Yes, sir.
Not free will.
That's exactly.
You see, it's not the concept you think. It's what happens to you.
Yes, sir.
And eventually, if that's true, Joe, if God laid hold of you, eventually you'll start saying it the right way.
Yes, sir.
You might use the word free will, but eventually it'll come out on you. Well, it wasn't free will after all. It was free grace.
That's right.
It was God, not me. Well, doesn't the scripture say, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh? Yes, we have a will, but it ain't a free will.
Exactly.
It's a will that's in bondage to sin. That's what the book teaches.
Yes, sir.
And anything that teaches anything else is a lie, and it's not the truth.
Exactly.
We hold to Christ, not free will.
Exactly.
And let me tell you, there are other gospels. I need to move on. Titus chapter 1. And acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness.
Yes,
right? Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read that one. I can quote it, but I want to read that one. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. Okay, because he's talking about what they did. You see? Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted.
Yeah.
After that ye what? Heard the word. Is that what it says? Well, that's what it says, but it's not all it says.
Yeah.
It's after you heard the word of truth. Now, let me tell you something. If you ain't heard it, you ain't going to believe it.
Yeah, that's right.
And if a person ain't ever heard it, they've never believed it. But there are some who have heard it and don't believe it.
Exactly.
Now, may they later on come to believe. If they're one of the elect, they will.
Yes, sir.
They will. They might not state it just like I state it. They might not say it just like you say it. But when you get to know them, when you get to know them, when they give their testimony of how God saved them, then you'll recognize that's how God saved me.
Exactly.
Huh? But now, if God saved them, so they say, in a different way than he saved you, then one of you is not telling the truth.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
If I say God does it this way and somebody else says, no, God does it that way, either both of us are wrong or one of us are wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
But we both can't be right.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. God saves his people. Now, Paul, I've got to hurry here. Paul gives us a glimpse into this of what he's talking about. In other words, what is the truth? Right? What is the truth then? Paul states this. Here's the problem. I marvel. Let me turn back to it. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed, look, from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Now, this is in the negative. In the positive, it is this. It is a blessing that God has brought you to himself by calling you into the grace of Christ. Yes, wouldn't that be the positive of that?
Yeah.
He puts it in the negative because he's warning these people, what's happened to you? You've removed from that. You've gone away from that. So it's this. God's calling, God's grace, and God's Christ. Without those three things, there is no conversion. It's not a matter how much you understand about it, but how did it really happen? Right? To receive and love these is the proper start. Think about God's calling. Let me summarize. Concerning the call of God, God does not even attempt to call everyone.
Exactly.
Does he?
No.
There are some who are not even called at all. Right. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Paul plainly said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many. He didn't say not any, but not many.
Not many.
Not many. And God calls who? The nothings.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Now, can you take your place with the nothings?
Exactly.
And can you, yes, not ashamedly, but shamefacedly acknowledge that? You don't have to shamefully. Ain't none of us who've really been there and been called out of it want to go back and reminisce about what it was to live in the hole of the pit.
Exactly.
Is it?
That's it.
But we with shamed face can say, this is where I used to be.
Yes, sir.
God called me out of that. But God doesn't call you just out of something. A lot of people have been called out of immorality. Called out of irreligion into religion. You know,
yeah.
They've had an experience.
Oh, yeah.
They've been called. They've made a decision. They believe this religion, that Bible verse, this Bible verse, this doctrine, that doctrine. God's people are called out of darkness into God's marvelous light.
Amen.
And it's called into what? God's grace and
yes.
God's Christ.
Amen.
Let me say something about God's grace now. Quickly. If you're going to talk about grace, you can't start in the middle.
That's right. Amen.
Don't start in the middle. If you're going to talk about grace and understand grace for what it really is, don't start in the middle. Go back to the beginning.
Yes, sir.
And according to the scripture, the beginning is this. There is an election of grace.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, you don't have to know about election for God to save you.
No.
But he saves you because he chose to save you.
That's right. That's exactly.
And when he saves you, you'll begin to come around to that concept. Why? Because God's word is replete with that truth.
Yes, sir.
And if you hate it, then you're not converted. Those who hate election, you don't have to know about it, Joe, to be saved. But if you hear about it and you hate it, you're an adversary of the truth.
Amen.
And it's an evident token of your ruin, your perdition. But if you love it, it's an evident token of what? Your salvation and that of God. No, it is. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. And I know he's talking about Jews there, but it applies to us Gentiles as well. God didn't choose all the Gentiles, but he chose to, what did James say? Call out of them a people for his name. So you see the connection between election, calling, and what? God's Christ. He doesn't just call you to believe these doctrines. He calls us into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes,
he does become recognized by us, Joe, as our elder brother.
Yes, sir.
That's a relationship. It's a family. We recognize ourselves as the family of Christ. It's not just Jesus. He's kind of there with the rest of it. No, he becomes central to all of it.
That's right.
Exactly.
He becomes central to all of it. Kind of put this, Paul said it. Paul said, I was separated under the gospel of God. And then he says, concerning his son.
Amen.
Now, does a person have to know Jesus was virgin born to be converted? No. But eventually, they'll come around to see that if they live long enough.
Amen.
You know why? Because the book says so.
Yes, sir.
The book says so. And let me tell you, you could go right on down the line. Now, God reveals truth and the amount of truth. Remember, the Spirit of truth will come. He will guide you into all. It didn't, none of us start, as Earl used to say, with a full set of teeth. But if you're a living human being, your teeth's going to grow. They're going to pop out, ain't they? I don't care if you are, but yeah, we all begin as babes, and the teeth are buried down in here, right? And they begin to come out. And later we get mature teeth. And that's kind of the way it is with being a believer in Christ. None of us begins with a full set of teeth. But let me tell you something. If after about 40 years you still ain't got nothing but gums, you're in trouble.
Right.
Because God don't just save gums. He saves gums that's got teeth in them. So they can chew the food. Now it's God's Christ. What did God say about his Christ? He said he put away our sins.
Yes, sir.
You know, let me tell you something. I know God had worked on me for several months. I believe he had given me life. But it was not until I read a passage, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the verses from like 16 through 21, where it says that God... Now that was for me. I'm not saying you got to understand this verse. But let me tell you, it's not until you realize Jesus Christ is the one who satisfied the penalty of my sins. It's not until you realize Jesus Christ is the sacrifice and the substitute until you can say, I'm converted.
Yeah.
And this the passage that God used for me was this, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now I believed, it wasn't just 4 points, I believed a lot of points. But there were 4 of 5 specific points that I believed up to that time. But I had a rough time with that 5th one.
Yeah.
I had a rough time with that limited atonement, which ain't really the 5th one. It's kind of in the middle when you look at it as men set it up. But for me, that was the problem. That's the problem for a lot of people. And it wasn't, Joe, that I had a problem with Christ just dying for some folks. I knew God was sovereign. He could do what he wanted. My problem was some certain verses. My problem was I had been preached to and was holding to perversions for so long, it was difficult for me to see the truth.
Yes, sir.
But when God opened my eyes up to see, you know, there's a world out there that Jesus Christ has already reconciled.
Yes, sir.
Because God did this in Christ when he died. That's the whole point of that passage. And he's not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's when the gospel dawned on my heart. I said, that's where Christ is my substitute. I got to be a part of that world he reconciled.
Yes, sir.
Or I've got no hope.
Exactly.
Now, did I automatically believe in limited atonement? No, I automatically believed in atonement that was more vast than I could fathom. Yeah. To me, there was no limitation there, David, because it included me.
Yes, sir.
It included me, and that's vast enough. Now, you worry about yourself, but that's all I can say. Joe kind of said, I can't worry about you in the sense that I can prove to you you're saved. I can't do it. I can't. I may be persuaded of you. I may be persuaded beyond a shadow of doubt, but I've been that way about some folks.
Yeah.
And then I become totally disappointed. Huh?
Yeah.
Totally disappointed. And of course we all, well, are they really saved or not? Let me tell you something. You best worry about yourself.
That's it.
Worry about yourself. Now it's all right to have concern for other folks. It's all right to show concern for other folk. But the only person any real proof's going to be for is between you and God.
Exactly.
And that's it. Because you'll never be able, it's hard enough to get proof enough for yourself, Joe, let alone for somebody else. Paul put it this way, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith.
Yeah.
Look at yourself. Now here's the question. Do we believe this? I ask, do you believe that? I don't care how much of it you know. Do you believe that? And do you love it?
Yes.
Huh? Do you love it? I have emphasized this And sometimes I feel quite awkward doing it. I talk about the love we're to have for God. Because sometimes when I see myself, Joe, it seems so slight and so insignificant.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact is this, and I don't say this boastingly, I know I love God. I know I love God. But I can't prove that to you.
Exactly.
And I don't have to.
Amen.
And you may know you love God, but you can't prove that to me.
Exactly.
But let me tell you something. God, it says, He, His Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, when you love somebody, that doesn't mean things always go well. It doesn't mean you always do what you're supposed to do. But when you do wrong, you know you got to say, what? I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I will strive with all that's within me not to do that again. And you know what happens if you do that again? You get on your face again.
Yeah.
And you say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You see, most people think, well, I've been forgiven. Everything. They just want to do whatever they want. And they think, well, I don't need a priest. No, you need Christ.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
You need Christ. And we always need Him. He's not somebody we just run to when things get really bad. Got to always, always flee to Christ. Let me tell you something. According to the scripture, if you believe it, you'll love it.
Yes, sir.
If you love it, you'll believe it.
Amen.
And only God can give you that confidence, whether that's real for you, not I. Father, I pray that we may ponder on these things, to give them serious thought and consideration, but even further than that, Lord, that you would make these things real to our hearts and minds. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.